Alexa, play the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that listens to you. Here he comes, ready or not, Medicare expert Doug Jones. Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, this is Doug Jones, as you just heard Drew McMillan say. I am your Medicare expert with a frog in my throat. I'm going to push the button to quiet this down for a moment. I should sound a little more clear now. Anyway, this is the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. Thank you much for joining us today. It's a fantastic, beautiful, sunny, warm Arizona day. And I am here to do exactly what Drew McMillan told you. I am going to be your Medicare expert, but just for today, not for always. I'll be other things to other people, I suppose. But we are here to help people who are approaching Medicare feel more confident and more comfortable about the transition from Obamacare to Medicare, or from real life to Medicare life, because it is not the scary thing that we think it might be when we're young. It's more of an improvement in many people's financial welfare. It's got very good benefits at a very reasonable cost, and the process of applying and qualifying for Medicare is such that once it's done, you probably never have to do it again. And that's why we confidently tell you that being on the verge of Medicare is not a reason for concern. Now, we have a 30-second radio spot that kind of describes why we're here, and often I ask Randy to play that, and perhaps he'll do that for us right now. Medicare is complicated. Medicare can be confusing. Medicare is no fun to study. Will you know what decisions to make when Medicare time arrives for you? My name is Doug Jones, and I wrote a book to help you figure it all out. Medicare for the Lazy Man. It's on sale at Amazon and BarnesandNoble.com. Also, you can download and listen to my podcast, Medicare for the Lazy Man, wherever fine podcasts are given away free of charge. Medicare for the Lazy Man, simplest and easiest guide ever. All righty. That was our 30-second radio spot. And as you could hear, it's a very quick explanation of why we're here to help people that are confused by Medicare. When I say we, I'm talking about me, and I'm talking about Randy Carson, the world's finest button twister. Button twister? Knob twister. How are you, Randy?
I'm good. I'm feeling particularly bright and bushy-tailed today, and I'll have to tell you why.
I want to hear why.
I over the weekend, I got in and out of Cave Creek, in and out of the Buffalo Chip, in and out of Watson's Hat Store.
Ooh, boy.
And I didn't get accosted once, so we must be doing something right with the mail bag.
Well, I'm glad to hear that, the mail bag. And how was your mask situation? Did you have to wear a mask all day long?
I didn't have to wear a mask, although someone tried to force my wife to wear one, and she said, "Here, listen really closely." No!
Well, good for her. Good for her. And you went to Watson's Hat Store. Did you actually have any money left when you walked out of there?
No. After I saw what was going on in there, I grabbed my billfold and ran out before I went broke.
That's a pretty pricey place. He's got some nice merchandise in there, but it is a pricey, pricey place. I've been there.
While I was waiting for my hat, I was reading all the accolades on his wall, and he is one of the last, well, at least in Arizona, he's one of the last master hat makers in the state. He's got all kinds of, you know, accolades from the Senate and, you know, everywhere. I mean, and he's using the old style equipment. There's all kinds of, you know, old school hat forms, and it's really cool to go look. But you got to, you know, hang on to your hat when you go in there on the prices.
Oh, you know, that's kind of the way I discovered Stuart boots, Western boots. We were vacationing in Tucson one time, and I read that Stewart Boot Company in South Tucson, which is a like a barrio that's completely surrounded by the city of Tucson, they were, had a like a half price showroom of their seconds. And so I went down there and bought a probably a $200 pair of boots for $100. This is years and years ago. And I found a pair of Stewart boots years later up north in a boot store. But you don't hear about them. I don't even know if they're open, but they were the last hand-stitched Western boots made in America, I was told. I don't know how true that is, but that's what the news story that I read was. So I know that every pair of Stewart boots I've ever put on felt all comfortable and cozy. So
yeah, I'll have to look up Stewart. I'm not familiar with that brand, but I have been wearing Lucchese most of my boot wearing life, and I like those, and they're made in El Paso. And they ultimately are probably the only boot I really like that is comfortable for me.
Well, if you ever have the chance, try Stewart. It's Stewart.
I'll try that.
Yeah, you know, they work for me. Not everybody has the same feet. Not everybody has the same feet. Not everybody has the same foot needs, I suppose. Yes. Some people find different boots more comfortable than others.
I for those of you who are, you know, if you've ever gone into a Western boot store, now this is right from the horse's mouth. A friend of mine used to sell boots when he was in college. So if you ever go in there and you want to try on a pair, and they give you the store sock has been on everybody's foot since 1937.
Sure.
And you stick your foot in there and then you can't get it back off. You know the trick to, I'll tell you the trick to wear to trying on a pair of boots and then getting them back off.
Well, we always had a boot jack around the house.
Well, that in some stores they won't let you use a boot jack because it can damage the boot.
Sure.
So what you do is you go up to the counter and you'll look like a total idiot if somebody doesn't know what you're doing, and you ask them for two plastic sacks.
Ah.
You know, like they sell stuff in.
Sure.
And
sure.
You shove that over your foot and down into the boot, and then they come out just like greased lightning.
Well, I imagine that would be true, but then aren't your feet kind of sweaty?
Yes, there is that problem. There is that problem. You know, so you have to buy in a big rush. Otherwise, you know, you'll get trench foot by the time you get out of there.
Yeah, well, that's probably why I don't wear my boots that often anymore, because I think my feet have gotten fatter and they're harder to get off. And I don't want to ask my wife, and I don't want to walk around all night with a plastic bag wrapped around each foot. And so I guess the only solution to this is to go find another store that sells Stewart boots and try a few on and see what if I can get a bigger size.
I think that's the best option, Doug. Go find yourself a pair of new boots.
I'm glad you helped me think that through.
After how many years have you not had a new pair of boots?
You know, I bet I bought these around 25 years ago, I bet. So
once every 25 years, a man deserves a new pair of boots.
Especially if his feet get chubbier than they used to.
Yes, there is that problem.
I don't know why that would be. So we came here to talk about Medicare. Maybe
we did that. We're going to do that right now.
I got to tell you, I'm very gratified at our audience growth lately. We have been adding new listeners all the time, and I'm pretty happy about that. I'm hoping that we're giving people what they want to hear by our Medicare talk. But it's not just the podcast episodes that educate people about Medicare. It's the book that we promote with the podcast. So you got your Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. You got your Medicare for the Lazy Man website. And we also want you to buy our Medicare for the Lazy Man book at Amazon, because that will be the full story, the full picture of our opinions, my opinions, let's say. Randy only formed his opinions after I started talking about Medicare in front of him. Prior to that, he didn't want to hear anything about it at all. So I should say my opinions about Medicare and what you ought to do to make life easier and more beneficial for you as you enter into Medicare. So buy the book at amazon.com. So today I thought, okay, I often go to the mailbag, and we may do that again, but I ran across a little article from an insurance company talking about something that the Medicare people have done to the Medicare prescription drug plans, PDPs. They've instituted a thing called the Insulin Savings Program. And it doesn't apply to all prescription drug plans, but it's something that people with diabetes that take insulin ought to be aware of. Apparently, now I'm not an expert on this, but apparently insulin is expensive and it's hard to get. And it's hard to find a plan that covers the cost of insulin to the satisfaction of a lot of people. So I got this letter from this insurance company about their insulin savings program. So it says this company is excited to participate in the CMS Part D Senior Savings Model. Now, CMS is the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. They're so ignorant they can't spell their own acronym properly. It's CMMS, but they use the acronym CMS for Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. And they have this program they started called the Part D, and that's for drug plans when you're on Medicare. Part D of Medicare is plans that pay some of the cost of prescription medication. And the Senior Savings Model, I don't know where that came from, but that's their recent thing. So the CMS Part D Senior Savings Model is something that this insurance company is taking advantage of through their insulin savings program. So the government calls the CMS Part D Senior Savings Model a program, and the insulin savings program belongs to this insurance company. This program allows for affordable, predictable insulin costs and builds on the company's bold goal, and that's capitalized, bold goal of improving the clinical and social health outcomes of our members. Yeah, they really want to wrap everybody in a security blanket. And it's kind of unfortunate that they take this approach, but their view is that anybody that's old enough to be on Medicare probably needs other help in other areas, like learning how to get out and about and going shopping and stuff like that. Anyway, they say it's important for licensed agents to understand how the insulin savings program works, who is eligible, and what this company plans, and what plans this company has that participate in the program. Failure to properly explain aspects of the insulin savings program can lead to complaints from the members, the insured people, both to the company and to Medicare. And then corrective action could be taken, including member disenrollment from the plan and or potential commission chargebacks. God forbid that commission chargebacks occur. That means the insurance agent has been working for free. Now, the Part D Senior Savings Model. That's the heading of this next paragraph. It's important for agents to understand that CMS, the government, requires that the insulin savings program is first introduced as the Part D Senior Savings Model. So when you start talking to somebody, maybe a diabetic, maybe a person that needs insulin, when you start talking to them, the law, the federal law, is that as an insurance agent, you must first introduce the plan as the Part D Senior Savings Model. Otherwise, they can haul you off to Medicare jail. So when you're speaking to members or prospective members, licensed sales agents must introduce the program as the Part D Senior Savings Model. I can't say that often enough. Here's what you have to say. The Part D Senior Savings Model, which this insurance company calls the Insulin Savings Program. Now, if you say all of that, then you have followed the government edict, and you may call it the Insulin Savings Program after that. Why not just call it the Insulin Savings Program from the get-go? It seems to be a fairly short, descriptive name, accurate. Well, you can't do that because the feds say you can't. Do I know why they insist upon Agents using the Part D senior savings model name. I don't know why that is. I assume it has something to do with wanting to take credit for a giveaway program. So anyway, once you've used the term, the Part D senior savings model, then you can use the insurance company's name, internal name for their program. In this case, it's the insulin savings program. How it works, how the insulin savings program works, there are 25 select insulins on the insulin formulary. And they are manufactured by Novo and Sanofi, S-A-N-O-F-I. Participating insulins will be listed with the prescription calculator with insulin savings program listed as one of the parameters. For each select insulin, eligible members will automatically pay no more than $35 for a 30-day supply, or $70 for a 60-day supply, or $105 for a... Actually, the way it's worded is a little odd. $35 for a 1 to 30-day supply, $70 for a 31 to 60-day supply, and $105 for a 61 to 90-day supply. So I guess that if you say, I want to get 62 days worth of insulin, you're going to pay $105, the same as you would pay if you got an 89-day supply of insulin. So now I'm beginning to understand this. So the price extends through the first three stages of Part B description drug benefits, which are the deductible, the initial coverage, and the coverage gap. And because insulin pens and vials are sold in specific package sizes that cannot be broken apart, for instance, 5 pens per box, the member, the insured person, may not be able to get an exact 30-day or 90-day supply based on how much they use each day. Insulin administered with a pump are not eligible because they are paid through the Part B as in boy benefit. Medicare Part B pays for insulin with a pump. So who is eligible for the insulin savings program? All Medicare enrollees on participating plans, except those on a low income subsidy, those receiving extra help, those on, it's DSNP, dual SNPs, they call it, which are basically dual eligible. They're old enough for Medicare and they are on state-sponsored Medicaid. Those are dual eligibles, and D-SNP plans were designed for them. So those are among the groups of people that are not responsible or not able to participate in the ISP, the Insulin Savings Program. And so then we go on to which of the plans from this company are participating. In other words, if you are a diabetic, you need the insulin, you want to take advantage of this deal, you've got to pick the correct Part D plan, the PDP, the prescription drug plan that has this insulin savings program as part of its benefit structure. And that would only be one of the three Part D plans this company sells. And it ironically happens to be the one that costs about $55 a month. It is the most expensive of their three plans, but I can't blame them for trying to minimize the amount of money that's going out the door. So the other thing that I marked here is keep in mind that not all beneficiaries will have a Humana participating plan available in their service area. So these plans are a lot like Medicare Advantage plans in that they have geographical areas in which they're available. And if you happen to live in an area that doesn't have this Humana plan or this expensive plan available to you, then you can't participate in the insulin savings program. And that means you are back to just buying insulin the old-fashioned way, which I guess is paying way too much money for it. So how are we doing time-wise, Randy?
1 minute, 8 seconds.
Oh, my God. I was going to tell you this. I had a kind of an interesting experience today. I had forgotten all about Kitty Genovese. Do you remember hearing about Kitty Genovese when you were a kid?
It sound the last name sounds familiar. I don't know about the first name, but...
Well, I'm a lot older than you. It was a kind of a horrifying story in, I think it was 1964 in Manhattan, in New York. This 28-year-old bartender named Kitty Genovese came home and somebody accosted her, I think on the outside entrance of her apartment building, and stabbed the heck out of her and beat her up. And she was screaming for her life. And she had a whole bunch of neighbors that all were peeking out their windows and stuff. Yeah. And Randy's nodding his head. Oh yeah. He remembers the story. Horrifying. And the New York Times came through 2 weeks after the incident. And they interviewed, theoretically, all of these neighbors, and they found 38 people who said, yes, I heard the commotion. I heard the screams for help. I didn't call the police because I didn't want to get involved. And this became a big deal in psychological studies, because I was a psych major. It became a big deal in the way of entertainment. We just watched this morning a Perry Mason episode. We're watching all the Perry Mason episodes from the 1950s and 60s because Earl Stanley Gardner was a friend of my grandfather. And so every once in a while, we feel like we ought to just sit down and watch him once we've forgotten what all the plot twists are. And this one was based on the Kitty Genovese story. It was about a woman who got the snot beat out of her, and she was screaming for help, and they had a whole bunch of people who said, oh, I didn't want to get involved. I didn't want to get, you know, get in trouble or whatever. And the thing is, if you look up Kitty Genovese in the Wikipedia thing, it talks about the New York Times. And then if you get a little farther down, it's proven that it was a big bunch of crap. The New York Times made it all up. The woman did get murdered, but her neighbors tried to call the cops. Her neighbors tried to intervene. Oh, is Santa Claus coming down the chimney?
Someone's in my driveway.
Maybe it's Kitty.
I bet it's Kitty.
Reincarnated. Oh, man. Well, anyway, the whole thing is, Randy said something earlier that triggered this. He said, I don't watch the news anymore. And frankly, you're better off not reading the New York Times in most cases. But this was a New York Times fabrication back in 1964. And once again, it became part of popular culture. Witness Earl Stanley Gardner's episode of Perry Mason, in which the same thing happened on the TV show that happened to Kitty Genovese in real life. Only she was murdered by one guy, and her neighbors tried to help. And the folklore is that most Americans didn't want to be involved. So she was allowed to die alone and victimized. So I just thought I'd mention that.
You have really destroyed my belief in the New York Times now, Doug.
Oh, well, I'm like two or three decades ahead of you there. So
I thought they were a straight up, straight shooting newspaper.
There might have been a time that they were, but I think those days are long gone.
Long gone. Well, you know what else is long gone?
Our time for today.
Our time for today. We need to tell all the folks, thank you for joining us. Thank you for coming to listen to us. We enjoy every minute of it, and we are looking forward big time to seeing you next time. You have just spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance guy from Oklahoma and the expert on Medicare supplement planning. You really need to buy his book. You really need to buy several. And whenever the audio book hits the shelves, I'm sure it'll fly off of there. I mean, there will be none of them left. So keep watching. Keep watching closely.
Yeah, we're each going to have a couple of birthdays before that audiobook gets approved. I have January 20th. That's when I sent it to them. And I said, here you go, buddies.
Was that this year?
Oh, that was 2021. That was
this millennium. My God. It was this millennium even.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. So,
well, there, you know, the last time you ask, you know, how are we doing? She goes, let me repeat the email that we got, or that Doug got from ACX. Thank you, Mr. Jones, for inquiring about your book. Sincerely, someone who don't care.
That was factually correct. It was such a pleasant little response to my question. Yes, we understand you have a question. Thank you for writing. Bye.
Thanks. We'll let you know next time. Well, anyway, thanks for joining us. We're going to have to sign off because the plane is running out of fuel as we speak.
All right. Bye-bye.